Welcome to Your Career Podcast, the podcast that helps to ensure your career success. To start getting on track with your career, download my free career goals calendar from thecareersacademy.online. My goals calendar includes a SMART goals template and a weekly tasks sheet that will ensure step by step you get closer to reaching your career goals. So download my goals calendar today at thecareersacademy.online. Now on with the show.
Hey, this is John Lee Dumas introducing Jane Jackson Careers, a podcast that will inspire you to take control of your career and your life. Here's your host, Jane Jackson, career management coach and author of Navigating Career Crossroads. Be prepared to ignite.
Well, hello and welcome back to my podcast where I interview fascinating professionals who've made amazing career changes. Now, today I'm delighted to have on the show Tayo Roxon, who's based in New York and is the founding editor of Branded You and the CEO of UYD Media. Now, UYD stands for Use Your Difference. Both companies are committed to helping millennials pursue their passions in careers they love while making a difference. His work is featured in the Huffington Post, Among Worlds magazine, as well as Global Living magazine. He is an authority on third culture kids, what we'll call TCK, and assimilation into new cultures, and is the author of The Ultimate Guide to TCK Living. Through his podcast, As Told by Nomads, and blog, he's heard and read by thousands of people in over 100 countries. He grew up on 4 different continents, so he considers himself a citizen of the world. He's lived in Sweden, Burkina Faso, Nigeria, Vietnam, and the United States, and his goal is to ultimately leave the world a better place than it was before he came into it. Once he discovered that he was a third culture kid, he vowed to use his global identity to make an impact in the world. If you are a third culture kid, you'll know that you're someone who spent the formative part of your childhood years, that's from birth to about 18, outside of your parents' culture. Now, as I grew up in Hong Kong with a British father and Chinese mum, I'm married to an Australian and have children who are third culture kids too. My first was born in London and my second daughter was born in Singapore, but home is Australia. I'm fascinated by how we all cope and embrace this global outlook. This is why when I found out about Tayo Roxon, I had to have him on the show. So let's welcome Tayo to the show.
Oh, gosh, it's a pleasure to be on here. And it's also a pleasure to talk to a fellow TCK. So it's I'm honored to be on your show.
I know. Third culture kids. I mean, we do have to hang together, don't we?
Yeah, we do. We have like this instant connection because, you know, you're like, oh, you grew up there. You're a TCK. Completely get it.
Yeah, I know. It's so interesting because I found you simply by accident on Instagram, and I followed you for a while. I thought, what an interesting guy. And it was so nice when you connected, and then, you know, we connected on LinkedIn as well. And with your amazing background and everything that you're doing for millennials with their careers, helping people to understand, you know, like global differences culturally, especially now, you know, living in this global economy, what you do is so valuable. So how about, because this podcast is all about careers, to kick us off, can you tell us a little bit about your early days and your career aspirations when you were maybe in your teens or as a little boy?
Oh, well, where do I start? So I grew up, my formative years were really in a French-speaking country in Burkina Faso. Now, you can imagine, I'm Nigerian. You know, when I was 10, my dad told me we were moving to Burkina Faso, which is a French-speaking country, and we were going to go to an American international school. So back then, you know, I was excited, you know, new country, but I quickly realized once I got there that there was a lot of work to do to fit in. So, you know, whether it was my accent was different, I didn't know how to play all the sports that the kids knew, everybody already had their cliques. And one thing that I felt that I didn't have then was the ability to connect. And I was constantly looking for that. And I found that somehow, you're going to find this story funny, when I used to watch the Oprah Winfrey Show. And because Oprah is one of my biggest role models. And for some reason, you know, in my rotation of Disney, Nickelodeon, and all that, I would basically just find myself watching the Oprah Winfrey Show. And the reason I loved that was because she was filming it in a studio in Chicago, and here I was, and I guess she was able to connect with me through a guest in Burkina Faso. And I always said I wanted to do the same thing. I wanted to be able to use media to help tell people stories and to help connect people who felt, you know, like they were lost or they couldn't find their passion or what the purpose was. So, you know, from an early age, you know, taking away all the sports dreams I had to be a tennis player, basketball player, soccer player, I really wanted to have a career that I felt like I was connecting people globally across cultures to do what they wanted to do. So, you know, teenage years grew. I eventually went back to Nigeria to complete high school and in a boarding school. And then I moved to Virginia in the United States to complete my high school, to complete college. And something happened. I became really complacent. I started thinking about what society defined of as success. And, you know, I was just like, Dad, I don't know what degree I should take. And he just said, take law. Everybody that does law can do anything with anything. So I took law, like you said. I quickly realized that law wasn't for me, because I realized that I preferred it on TV and on Law and Order. And the practical and everything that I was studying in school, it just wasn't for me. So I stumbled into marketing and digital media. And I loved the idea of what digital media was coming to be. That was around the early days of Twitter and Facebook. And I loved the idea that you could tell stories, but I didn't quite know exactly how to use it as a vehicle for my skill set. So I, you know, went through college, you know, got the good grades. But in between my senior year and graduating to get a job, I had applied to over 85 jobs, and they all said no. They all said I wasn't good enough. They said I the typical standard letter: we regret to inform you, you have amazing skills, but just not at this time. And I essentially believed them. I thought, wow, I guess I'm not really good enough to go after a job in marketing, a job in digital media. So I settled for whatever job that I could get. And, you know, I was also on the clock because, you know, I'm an international, and you have to get a job that can sponsor you as a foreigner. So I took a job that I shouldn't have taken, but, you know, it seemed to pay the bills. So I did it, and I was miserable just because I hated the fact that I this wasn't what I wanted to do, and I'd become so complacent. And three things happened. First thing that happened was, you know, in between, during that 2 year period when I was taking that job, I woke up one night, maybe 3 a.m., just startled. It was cold sweats. It wasn't even cold. And I remember saying to myself out loud that I can't believe that this is going to be the next 60 years of my life. You know, I'm 21 at the time. I'm like, this is just, wow, 60 years of my life of just doing just this in this city and not even feeling passionate. And then I went back to sleep, but I wasn't able to do anything about it. I just sort of had that in the back of my mind. The second thing that happened was my mentor had moved to New York City for a job, and I love basketball and I always wanted to go to New York City. So I thought it was a win-win. So I went to the city, we hung out, but once I landed, I remember feeling just this rush of adrenaline and energy just by the nature of the city itself. I mean, if anyone's been to New York City, it's really, you know, it's one of those things that charges you. It's a hustle and bustle. And I just remember feeling this sense of optimism and possibility. And I was like, wow, I haven't felt this way since I was 15, possibly. And that was another thing that was just in the back of my head. I still wasn't brave enough to make that pivot. And the third thing that happened was, you know, a few months really after that, I was driving to the same place of work, and then all of a sudden this, you know, on the highway, my lane gets cut into half because a car swerves in and loses control of its tire, and then I lose control of the car. And so I'm swerving all over the road, and in this drastic and dramatic attempt to save my own life. And then I hit the left guardrail, and I hit the right guardrail, and I'm certain I'm going to get T-boned and car spinning. I'm just trying to figure out a way to get out. And then I hit one car, I hit two cars, and I go back to the left guardrail, and the car lifts up. And at this point, I'm saying to myself, I'm 22 years old, I haven't lived, and I'm about to die. And I just, like, you know, I'm facing my mortality. So I slammed the brakes and figured out a way to get out of the incident. There were cops everywhere, glass everywhere, three cars. My car was totaled. But the miraculous thing that happened was nothing happened to me. And right then and there, I decided to quit my job and get reacquainted with my original passion, which is telling stories in media. So I moved to New York City shortly thereafter and decided to make, you know, New York City my campus while I was getting my MBA. And what I'll do is I would go through every event that I could go through. I would sneak into whatever I felt like I could and just start, you know, figuring out the best way to tell stories. I started doing entrepreneur interviews. It wasn't a good fit, but it was still good practice. And then one event happened. There was an Arena Huffington event. I was like, Arena Huffington does a Huffington Post. That's media, whatever. So she was doing an event for a book tour. Her book was Thrive. And I got into I got some tickets somehow. And the lady asked me if I was a blogger or a guest. And I was like, my ticket was just for a guest pass. But something compelled me to say I was a blogger. I don't know why. And then she didn't even look at my ticket. And she said, oh, yeah, you guys just go to this access. Someone's going to take you up. And I was like, wow, that's okay. So now I had access to something that was higher level. And I was sitting on a higher level. And I was basically covering the event. And in the midst of covering that event, she made a joke about her strong Greek accent, how she wanted to change it at some point in her life because she felt like she wasn't accepted. And I sat there thinking to myself, that's been who I've been for a long time. When I was a kid, I remember navigating accents. Even now, my accent fluctuates depending on who I talk to. And for some reason, that just reminded me of the term I had come across maybe a few months prior, which was TCK, third culture kids, people that spent the formative periods of their lives outside of their parents' cultures. And then it hit me. What if I launched a podcast that talked about what it's like to be a TCK and how you view the world and through business, through culture, or through any other thing? And the whole premise would be showing that the world is global and digital and using my lens as someone who is multicultural to show you the possibilities that exist within different cultures. So I wrote the title of my ebook, and then I launched a podcast through just sheer spontaneity. And within the first few months of launching it, you know, Entrepreneur Magazine started to pick it up, and then it was like they called it the number two business podcast of 2014. And then I finally felt like I was doing something that I was supposed to do. But it all started because I was brave enough, finally, after three attempts for my subconscious to tell me to move to a city and just pursue my passions and be okay with failing. And then once I got that, the podcast sort of just became the vehicle for everything that you're probably going to ask me about in the future. But sorry that took so long.
Not long. It's a fascinating story, but so interesting because there are so many facets of it that I want to ask more questions about as well. Because growing up initially in Nigeria and then Burkina Faso and going into an American international school, which is quite an interesting environment in itself, is my children also grew up in an international school, and there would have been people from all over the world who've come into, you know, this one international school at, this was the one in Burkina Faso, wasn't it? And so they would have been trying to assimilate into, you know, a new environment as well and feeling a little bit lost. And when you've been uprooted from one country or one city and moving into another one, especially when you're a young kid or you're a teenager, making new friends can be so challenging. And sometimes people thrive when they're doing it. Other people become very shy. Obviously, I think it helped you to thrive because you really embraced all of those different cultures. But then moving on and then going through all of your studies and having this big wake-up call after you weren't really happy in a role for about 2 years because of the challenge of actually getting into the workforce and doing something that you love. That car accident that you had was definitely a wake-up call, wasn't it? You know, just, I've got to do something now.
Absolutely. I mean, what that car accident made me realize is that time was so short. You never know when your time is. Mm. And I, you know, I was just at that moment when the accident happened. The only thing I said to myself was, I have not lived, even though I've been living supposedly 22 years. And I was just became like, I lost my fear of fear at that moment.
Yeah, you realized your time was not up yet because you had more things that you needed to do. And all of this, actually so interesting that you were saying that you went to this event and it was Arianna Huffington, and that was when she was launching Thrive, because that's what really inspired me too, because she came and she had her launch here in Sydney as well. And and then I bought 3 copies of her book and she signed it and she was so nice. And next thing I know, I thought, the Huffington Post have to also write articles on the Huffington Post too. So both of us are now blogging on the Huff Post, which is wonderful because you can really get your message out. But she is such an inspiring woman. And also being Greek, as you were saying, talking about her accent and where she'd come from and the travels. And it's just so interesting when you have this blend of cultures, because it makes you so much more aware of different ways of looking at things.
And absolutely.
And for you, with your marketing background and getting into digital media and then starting your fabulous podcast, As Told by Nomads. I love that name, As Told by Nomads. It's fantastic because we're all really global nomads now. You must be really enjoying all of those interviews and finding more about other people and the way that they assimilate into different cultures too. Right now, what's the most exciting thing that's going on in your life and career today?
Well, Jane, it's fascinating to me because I always, you know, I get in these conversations a lot. And when people ask me, how do you find what your calling is? How do you do what, how do you get involved in that? And I always just tell them, you got to start and start and start and be willing to fail it. Because if I hadn't moved to New York City and then if I hadn't snuck into that event and I didn't get the idea for the podcast, I wouldn't be working at Branded You right now. And how Branded You came about was because the president of the company came, had been observing what I was doing with my podcast and UID Media, and said, we really need to build an audience around millennials. And we are building a career discovery platform, and the essential focus is to help millennials figure out how to pursue their passion. We need someone who's been able to, essentially create a lot of media around that and grow an audience. And specifically because I've done that before was why he reached out to me and tapped me and do that. Now, I would never have gotten that role if I hadn't even just put myself out there to pursue something, because I think a lot of times people have this, and I've been guilty of this a lot of times, where you feel like nothing's happening. Like, why are you even wasting your time? No one's listening and stuff like that. And I was certainly at that point, but there's always a testament to when you stay committed to the process and you stay committed to who you are, something does pan out. Something will pan out. You might not like it as you're going through it, but it usually is worth it in the end.
Yeah, actually, I totally agree, especially, with the millennials. Sometimes if they come across challenges and things aren't happening fast enough, some may give up and think, well, what's the point? But if you keep putting yourself out there, as you say, and realize that as long as you find the right people who will listen, and you mentioned earlier that you had a mentor who must have really helped you to keep that motivation to keep going, then you'll be able to find what your true passion and direction is. I'm really focused a lot on finding what you're passionate about and knowing what your true direction is, because if you can find that sweet spot, that little intersection between passion and direction, it doesn't feel like work. It's absolutely magic. I mean, you were lucky. You found it a lot earlier because you're a lot younger than I am. But it took me about 25 years of a number of career transitions. But when I got into coaching, it was like magic. When the magic happens and you realized, this is what I'm supposed to be doing for the rest of my life. And then it doesn't feel like work. And, I'm Absolutely. Able to combine it with the podcasting and talking to people like you. It's like you've got to keep looking and be open and willing to continue to learn and listen to what others and mentors and people who've, done really interesting things before you have managed to achieve. And you mentioned that Oprah is one of your role models. What Absolutely. She has achieved is absolutely phenomenal. And as a woman in a male dominated environment, and yet still being able to do so very, very well and give back to the community. There's, as long as you know what you really enjoy doing and you can monetize it so that you can make a living while doing what you really, really enjoy, that's very, very satisfying. And so anyway, carry on with your Branded You. Tell me more about Branded You.
Oh yeah, well, it's funny with the Oprah thing. I always say that I was trying to be the Mopra. That's my goal, to be the male Oprah. But
oh, I like that Mopra. Good Mopra. Name.
But what branded you it's funny. It's like a full circle moment. Is the whole idea is to do exactly what you're saying, to help people pursue the passions and career that they love. And what's happening is that I'm helping to lead this as I'm also pursuing my passion and the career that I love. And in my generation, millennials, if you notice, a lot of people, the job hop, a lot of people, they're changed within, the first 2 or 3 years, because they're trying to figure out what their passion is. And they, they're looking for something that they can align with, aligns with the values. They want to understand something that really speaks to them. And we just thought, well, all those moments you thought that you said you wonder what it's like to get into sports, you wonder what it's like to get into music, what it's like to get into whatever career you wanted to get, but you didn't quite have access to the people that could tell you what exactly it takes. How about we solve that? So what we do is we've gone to like over 150 brands, from the Nikes to the Spotify's to all of them, and asked all these professionals in there who would know, and say, what is the day-to-day? Well, how did you get you? What was your career path? How did you get here? And then what would you tell your younger self? What does it take to get into this industry? And we did that, and we said, we wanted to really tap into the audience. And it's worked a lot, because we've seen the audience grow, and we've seen a lot of, people in our target demo continue to grow. And, we particularly have a large audience in the 18 to 24 range, as well as the 13 to 17, which is very interesting, because yeah, that's when they're in high school, middle school. So it's very refreshing to see people thinking like that. And the other thing that Branded You does is that we partner with universities to create career discovery programs. We partnered with Parsons to create a fashion course. And then we're working right now with Columbia University to create a sports course. And we plan to do many, many more. So, bridging that gap and helping you, equip you with skills that you need to pursue your passions is really what we're trying to do, so that you can go on your merry way and say, like, I now know what I need to do.
Oh, that is such valuable work, because so many kids don't actually have access to all of the different people to be able to ask them, what's it like to be an operations manager, or what's it like to be a marketing professional, or what's it like in the sports industry or the fashion industry or the pharmaceutical industry. And so you've got a whole range of videos, is that right? Videos and interviews. Yep. Of people in all aspects of their career, and they're telling you all about how you can get into the business, what the challenges are, what a day in the life of a certain professional would be. Is that right?
Yeah. What exactly that? The day-to-day exclusive career tips, and just understanding what the career path is. And it's it's just. We live in a digital age. We live in a time when people should be able to do what they love, and we want to be able to bring that to them. And we've been lucky and fortunate enough to have people willing to give their time to say, this is how we did it, don't make this mistake, make sure you do this, don't put that there, do this. And that's really how, we're hoping to leave our debts in the universe.
Oh, I think that's fantastic. And it makes it so, especially with technology now, it makes it so easy for people to find out the information that you need. I've been around. Yes. For so long, Teo, a long, long time ago, before digital media, if you can believe that. When I was in high school, I remember our careers master, he used to take us on little trips out to the bank and, to different companies, and we'd meet people. And I remember when we went to a bank, I because I've still got my old diaries, I said, oh, I really want to be a banker. And then when we went to look at Cathay Pacific, it was in Hong Kong, and it was an airline. Oh, I want to work in the airlines. And everything right. was new and bright and shiny. But it took a long time, because we had to physically go there. But now, with social media and with the internet and everything, and all of the videos that you've created, you've brought it into their homes. So no one actually has an excuse to say, I don't know what it's like to be in this sort of role. You can explore anything. Valuable. Really, I love the idea. That's fantastic. So thank you for sharing that. And I'm going to put on my show notes on janejacksoncoach.com the links to all of your websites as well. So we've got Branded You is one. Can I just ask you about UID Media?
Yes. So UID Media was essentially what the podcast has become, because So as Told by a Nomad started to grow, and then I realized that I could actually create a community of people who would be willing to share their stories. So it ended up becoming this accidental media platform that writers would occasionally send me stuff to submit from different parts of the world and say, hey, this is what it's like to live in Latvia. This is what we do. So the whole UID Media is based on my mission statement, which is use your difference to make a difference. That's essentially what I live by every day, whether it's with Brandegy, whether it's As Told by Nomads, whether it's UID Media. I want to promote the idea of everyone's individuality being the necessary ingredient for them to tap into the inner greatness, no matter where you're from, no matter where you live. And whether it's in our Nigeria, or whether it's in Vietnam or wherever you live, I just want to be able to show people through the stories and people that I profile that they are capable and more than willing, able to just undertake whatever goals that they have. So that's what it is. It's all about a positive and positive movement. I feel like there's too much negativity right now. And my way, I think my skill set is to help connect across cultures. And I do that through the podcast, I do that through UID Media, and now through Brandegy. So it's a movement.
Yeah, oh, definitely. And, you know, I mean, it's so interesting, this whole third culture kid thing, because sometimes, I mean, I wonder if you ever felt, you know, like, where is home? Because I know my kids, you know, when they were growing up, it's like, oh, you know, where really is home? And then we say, okay, well, we're going on home leave, we're going to go to Australia, but that's not their home. It was their father's home, but not theirs. And what's interesting is even my daughter, she was born in Singapore, but on her birth certificate, it says at the bottom, not a citizen of Singapore, which she isn't.
Oh, man.
But it makes it a little bit challenging sometimes for kids to think, you know, what's my true identity? Have you ever found that?
Yeah, I mean, growing up as a kid, I had a strong identity crisis. I mean, you're talking about going through puberty in a foreign country that has a different language while you're trying to make friends. And like all these things upon things upon things upon things, I would come back crying home, and my mom would try her best to just remind me that, you know, you're just as great. But I remember feeling inferior many times. I remember feeling like I don't even think I'm as cool as all these people. And you know, I realized then I had two choices, really, to navigate my way out of this identity crisis by figuring out how to connect, or to just wallow in self-pity. And it was a grueling process, but I found a way to do it through like three connectors that I built. And my first connector is sports, and that's always been something that's been important to me. So I quickly surveyed the landscape, saw that a lot of the people didn't just know soccer or football, as we called it then. I started with playing basketball, to playing tennis. So I went to the library, Jane, and I studied every single book on the history of basketball. And I just made sure I knew all the players, the history, and the fundamentals. Then I picked up all the ladies' magazines to know who the current players were. After that, I went to the best basketball player and said, hey, Michael, can you teach me how to play? I know everything there is to know about basketball. and then he agreed, and we're still friends to this day. But one-on-ones became two-on-twos, and then became three-on-threes. And, you know, I started to build friends, because it became – all of a sudden, sports was just that connector. And then I also learned, like, all the capitals of the world and everything. So just so that whenever I met someone from a different country, I would be like, hey, you from such and such? And that always broke the ice. And then pop culture, I have so much useless knowledge on anything pop culture. So when I'm talking to someone, I just say, ah, oh, that's Star Wars, or that's like Harry Potter, or something like that. And just finding ways to just break the ice and connect, it was something that my identity crisis forced me to develop at an early, early age. So yeah, identity crisis was there. I was very, very sad for a little while there, but I just had to find my ways, and it was through those connectors.
Yeah, and you know what you did? I mean, just listening to what you're saying now, is that you made yourself an interesting conversationalist, because you understood about the different sports, you understood about the countries of the world, and you understood about pop culture, which would have given you plenty of common points to have a discussion. So really smart move there. Plus, it would have made you very well read. So you at a dinner party would be an interesting guy to have to invite.
No, it's true. As I'm looking back now, it just appears that I've always liked to talk to people. I've always, you know, I do a lot of interviews, right? This is one of the things you realize, like, maybe this is something you just always have known. And now when I ask people, when people ask me how to pursue your passion, I always say, even if it's something you're not self-aware enough to know, ask your friends, you know, like the things they can see you doing, the five things they think you're great at, and ask it from people that you work with, people that you know, and then just sort of find that commonality. And for me, you know, find your gift and then find the vehicle. And for me, talking to people and connecting, obviously, it was something that I always loved doing. And then the vehicle was like, you know, a podcast, right? And then that led to like writing and doing videos and interviewing on a larger format. So, you know, always find a way to tie your gift to a vehicle, and then that's often the key to where your passion is.
Yeah, and also what comes through so strongly just talking to you, Teo, is your enthusiasm for life and your enthusiasm to learn everything about anything. And that makes you a more interesting person as well. So now I want
to ask you,
what would you say for someone who's, say, starting out, because millennials is they're your market, what would be the top three tips for success?
I cultivate curiosity. The first thing is that, I mean, you were talking about how you have that zest for learning, but I don't think there's anything wrong with curiosity. You should allow your curiosity to carry you to where you want to go. Put yourself, there's a saying that says, you know, you're the average of the five people you surround yourself with. There's nothing more true than that. I mean, obviously there are a few things more true than that, but still it is so true, because you have to surround yourself with the people that you want to be in. If you want to get into sports or entrepreneurship, put yourself and place yourself in those environments, those conferences, those get-togethers. You can go to meetup.com to see people with similar groups. You can check LinkedIn to see people with familiar groups. You can go through the nearest university or you know, nearest Toastmasters to talk about stuff like that. There's always a group, but I always recommend meetup.com just because you can search anything, you find that. So it's cultivate your curiosity, explore it. Make sure you put yourself with like-minded people that can challenge you and not bring you down or make you complacent. And then the third thing is just start. I always tell them, don't be afraid to fail. I mean, you don't want to do what I did, where you take a job just because it's there, and then you know you're waking up 40 years later watching Shark Tank and you're thinking, I had that idea, but I wasn't brave enough to follow it. So cultivate curiosity, surround yourself with people to challenge you and motivate you and are where you want to be, and then just do it. Like, you know, like Nike says, just fail fast. Whatever mistake you make, just figure out how you can learn, and, you know, just continue to push forward.
Yeah, fantastic advice. And also, there's no such thing as failure, really, because
right.
All failure is feedback. How can I do it differently next time? And I always think, well, I'm failing on a regular basis. It's really quite fun. So because you learn so much when you fail. And what really is failing? It's just something didn't quite turn out as the way you expected. And so you think, okay, if it was because of something I could have done differently, well, let's do something different. So there's always a way around it. And so now, if people want to find out more about you, Teo, Branded You or UYD Media, where can they find you?
Well, I'm at Ty Roxin everywhere. So mm-hmm. Twitter, I'm the only Ty Roxin, I think, at least on Google. So you can find me on tyroxin.com. BrandedYou.com and you know for the first people that they email me at tyo@brandedyou.com or sign up to brandedyou.com, we'll definitely be able to enter them into a lot of our we do a lot of sweepstakes, so we'll enter you for a chance to get one of our courses for free. So you know, be sure to send me an email at tyo@brandedyou.com or sign up, and I will be able to capture that. Also, yeah, but Ty Roxin, you can find me on Twitter, Instagram, just like how we met on Instagram.
Exactly.
Yeah, the podcast is Told by Nomads.
Yeah, and also I'll put all of your links onto my show notes as well on janejacksoncoach.com. And well, with a name like Ty Roxin, of course people will remember. I have a problem with a name like Jane Jackson. It's so common, but Ty Roxin, it sounds rather famous already. So I quite like that.
Thank you so much.
Well, it's been such a pleasure talking to you, Ty. Thank you very much for coming onto the show, because it's in the morning in Sydney and you're over in New York, so it must be quite late at night for you. It's a Monday here and must be a Sunday for you, I believe.
Sunday. It is a Sunday.
Yeah, that's right. Well, it's lovely to talk to you all the way over in New York. Thank you so much for your time. And I hope that in a few months' time, it really would be nice to have you back and tell me how the business is growing and all of the great things that you're doing to help millennials in their career as well.
Absolutely. And it's been a truly great experience. I mean, you're a great interviewer. You're very engaging and you're very conversational. And I always love, you know, bonding with a fellow TCK. And you've been a graceful host. So thank you so much.
Oh, us TCKs have to stick together, Tayo.
Yes, we do.
Yes. Thanks so much. Bye.
Today's podcast is brought to you by Audible.com. You can get a free audiobook download and free 30-day trial at audibletrial.com/Jane Jackson Careers. There are over 180,000 book titles to choose, so give it a go and get your free audiobook today from audibletrial.com/Jane Jackson Careers.
You've been listening to Jane Jackson Careers. Sign up to receive regular career advice at janejacksoncoach.com.
If you enjoyed this episode of Your Career Podcast, I invite you to check out my career success program at thecareersacademy.online. The Career Success Program is the original program that uniquely provides 24/7 on-demand career support and fortnightly live career coaching sessions to keep you on track to reach your career goals. It is the essential resource for anyone who wants to manage their career effectively, make a career change, and land the job they'll love. Whether you're in exploration mode or seeking a new career direction and need help to make it a reality, the Career Success Program is for you. Not only do you get access to my step-by-step roadmap to navigate your career crossroads, my extensive training library and exclusive members-only discounts and tools, you'll also become part of my supportive community of professionals who will help you with feedback, encouragement, and advice. All this and more makes the Career Success Program the number one place to be for anyone looking to start, manage, and grow their career. Check it out and join me at thecareersacademy.online.